in our Bible reading, but I'm going to do it slightly differently. It's quite a long reading. It's from Matthew 23. And let's have a look on here. And it's entitled A Warning Against Hypocrisy. It's about when Jesus kind of tackles the Pharisees. And I thought rather than read it, my own, I was going to read it. I at one point this week, I listened to it on the YouVersion app. If you don't know about the YouVersion app is just an app. If you have a smartphone, you can download it. It's free. It has the Bible on it in different translations of the Bible. It has reading plans. It's really good. But you can also listen to it. You can press it onto audio so it reads it for you. And I think you can even change the voices, so there's different voices. So the one that I was listening to, it's a bit, I thought it was funny, but I liked the passion in his voice. So I'm going to let him do our, hope this works. I'm going to let him read for us Matthew 23. Hopefully he'll pick it up, and we'll still have the words on the screen as well. Here we go.
Matthew chapter 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do. For they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long, or they love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. Oh, you blind fools. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. Oh, you blind men! Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides. You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead, then, and complete what your ancestors started. You snakes. You brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I tell you, all this will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you, desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Matthew. There we go. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Yeah, let's see where we take it. Here's my question to start off with. Very different from what we've just heard. My first question is, do you remember the 80s girl band Bananarama? Yes. Right, do you remember that Bananarama? And can anybody name songs I've got down here? Top 10 songs by Bananarama. Anybody name a song by them? Cruel Summer's on my list, yeah, number 4. Robert De Niro is waiting. Talking Italian. Venus. Anyone? No, that wasn't them. Sorry, that was the Bangles. That was the Bangles. Hey, did we get any more? Oh, you'll know them. You'll know them. Sing them. I can do that as well, you see. You've got Love in the First Degree, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Right? Then you've got He Was Really Saying Something. She was, yep, got it. Shy Boy, boop, Just like being in concert, isn't it? Or Nathan Jones, you've been gone too long. I heard a rumor. From that one? Hey. Yeah, something like that. Okay. All that to get to one of the titles of the song, which I will now tell you, is they sang one of their songs was called It Ain't What You Do, It's the Way That You Do It. Do you remember that one? But they were joined, I think, by Fun Boy Free. Some of you were even older at this point, but 80s, there you go. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. Now, there is some truth in that statement, but I think the lyric would be better if it was this. It is what you do, but it's also the way that you do it. It is what you do, but it's also the way that you do it. It is what you do, but it's also the way that you do it. And also why you do it. Right, I think that would be a better title. And it's certainly for my song, bit more wordy, but I think it works. See, the key is what we do is important. We talked about this last week as we talked about storing up treasures in heaven. But I also believe it's important why we do what we do, where it comes from, in many ways, in us. Just a couple of readings from the Bible. I know we've just had that long passage, and one of them's from there as well. But just to kind of, this is where I sort of started to think about things this week. Luke 21, verses 1 to 4, really simple, it says this. As he, Jesus, looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting in the gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put more in than the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty because it was all she had to live on. And then just a couple of verses that we've just from that Matthew reading again, 23:24. Woe to you, Jesus said to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. When you read those two short passages, in some ways what it spoke to me about is that the rich in the widow's offering text and the Pharisees, in some ways, they were doing the right good thing. They were giving. So the rich man is going to the temple and he's giving richly into the offering. I think that's not a bad thing, surely. The Pharisees, it says, they were giving a tenth away of a number of things that they have, these drill and all this sort of stuff. They were giving a tenth of it away. They were tithing some of it. So on one side, you look at it and you think, they're doing a good thing here. But it's quite obvious that there is something not right in that as well. And that's what Jesus was bringing to the surface. Especially among the Pharisees, which is what we heard in our reading. My message started this week with a phrase. The phrase that I started with is this: character counts. Character counts. According to William Barclay, the Talmud, which is a collection of ancient Jewish teachings, describe there are seven different types of Pharisee, but only one of them is good. Let's see if you can spot it. He says that the Talmud, these Jewish writings, kind of highlight seven different types of Pharisees, but only one of them is good. The first Pharisee is the shoulder Pharisee, who wore all his good deeds and righteousness on his shoulders for everyone to see. The second Pharisee is the wait a little Pharisee, who always intended to do good deeds, but could always find a reason for doing them later, not now. The third is the bruised and bleeding Pharisee, who was so holy that he would turn his head away from any woman seen in public, and was therefore constantly bumping into things and tripping, thus injuring himself. We have the hump-backed Pharisee, those who are so humble that they walked around bent over, barely lifting their feet, so that everyone could see just how humble they were. Then we have the always counting Pharisee, who always counted up their good deeds and believed that they were putting God in debt to himself, to themselves, for all the good deeds that they had done. And then we have the fearful Pharisee, who did good because he was terrified that God would strike them down with his judgment. And then final one, which I think you might see is the good one. We have the God-fearing Pharisee, who really loved God and did good deeds because they wanted to please God, who they loved. Why I read that is because, see, Jesus in that passage that was kind of read for us, I suppose, saw past the Pharisees, or saw past what the Pharisees were doing and into why they were doing what they were doing it for. I think Jesus saw their self-importance. He saw their misuse of power. He saw their hypocrisy. He saw their showing off. He saw their wrong motives. He saw their pretense. Pretense means an attempt to make something that is not the case appear true. And when Jesus saw these Pharisees, yeah, you could say, look at them, they're doing some good things, they're tithing and all that sort of stuff and all that. But Jesus saw past it all and looked deep inside them, and he saw why they were doing it, what they were doing it for, what was their motives, what was going on here. And he does not mess his words. Part of the passage sometimes that was read earlier is called the eight woes. Verse 25 and 26, woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees. First, clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside also will be clean. He doesn't miss these words, does he, Jesus? He really goes for it. Matthew 15, there's a similar passage. He says, Jesus again, talking to the Pharisees, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are so far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. See, the Pharisees didn't practice what they preached. Their actions came from the wrong place. Their motives were about promoting themselves. It was all about self-gain. Now, the first thing that I want to say to us today is that we need to consider the character of those who we pay attention to, especially those in leadership roles, those in positions of power, those in positions of authority. And I think we need to pay attention to this, both for people within leadership across the church, but also outside of the church in the world around us. See, I fear that people, including the people of God, in this day, we can get easily deceived. And I believe that we need to be careful. And I believe that we need to be really discerning. Yes, look at people's actions. They are important. But also look at their character. Why? Because character counts. Be careful. The second thing I would say on the back of that is our character counts. I'm sure that we don't want to fall into any of the traps that might make us become a little bit like the Pharisees. I'm sure that's not our intention. I like watching the darts on TV. I know there's one or two of us. I know Ben's a bit of a dart guy, and Peter, one or two of us. I don't know if you watch the darts on the TV. Darts on TV has become massive over the last few years. And one of the things about darts on TV, not only they take over the arenas, the massive arenas like the Manchester Arena when they come there and everything like that, but one thing that just seems to, I don't know where it initially came from, why they do it, but one of the things about the darts, if you watch it, is virtually everyone in the audience are dressed up in fancy dress. Where did that come from? You know, from darts. You know, but it's just basically it's a pub game. And now they take over the arenas and everyone turns up in fancy dress. So when you pan out across the crowd watching the darts, you've got nuns and you've got minions and you've got, you know, undertakers. You've just got all kinds of strange and wonderful people dressed up watching the darts. Looks, it's just a big fancy dress party. Looks good fun. Did you dress up, Ben, when you went?
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't ask you. Dare I ask?
If you're going to do it, you've got to do it properly.
Go on. Dare I ask what you dressed up as?
I went as Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney? What's all that about? I have no idea. It's just what you do.
Pete,
what did you dress up as?
I was dressed as a pea.
A pea? A pea pod. It's what you do, isn't it?
It seemed normal at the time.
It's normal at the time. And it would have been normal in the event, because everyone else... Yeah, okay. What is that all about? Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27 say this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Our aim as Christians should be to clothe ourselves with Christ. Not wear sandals and a long gown or whatever, but our aim is to be Christ-like, both in our actions, but also in our character. To put on the characteristics of Jesus. So what are the characteristics of Jesus? Well, I'm sure if I was to go out and ask you, you would probably say a number of them that you would recognise. And I've just picked a few from Scripture, and I hope they support what you would think. See, when I look at Jesus, I see things like compassion. Jesus was compassionate in his character. Matthew 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When I look at Jesus, I see that he was like a servant. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for any. Part of Jesus' character was forgiveness, forgiving. Luke 23, verse 34. While Jesus was on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they are doing. Jesus was kind-hearted. Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said to the children, come to me. In that society, everyone said, no, push the children away. They're not valuable. They're not important. Jesus said, come to me, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus was welcoming and he was valuing. I think about the sinful woman who came, you know, and she started to cry and pour her tears on Jesus' feet and with the perfume, and the people who were at the house were indignant. What is she doing? She's a sinner. She's a woman. She's touching Jesus. It's just a mess. And Jesus accepted her and welcomed her and forgave her. Jesus was humble. I love this about Jesus. the King of Kings, John 13, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Massive. Yeah, we could talk about other things. He was non-judgmental, determined, showed mercy, self-controlled. He was holy. He was loving. See, I believe Jesus is the pinnacle of human nature, of human character. And I believe we need to look for these characteristics in those who lead us today, both in the church and in the world around us. Do we see them in these people that lead us? Do we see compassion, forgiveness, humility? But alongside that, we need to ask God to build those characters in us. Those characteristics in us. Obviously, none of us can hold ourselves up to Jesus. But it has to be where we look to. And I think it's important to note that Jesus also kept his character even under the most intense pressure. When he was on the cross, when he could have been so different, but yet he held his character even in those most intense moments of his life. That's a challenge to us too. How will our character hold up under the pressures of society around us? Or when things get difficult for us, this can be the ultimate test. You know, I was in Beatrice School this week and I was taking some lessons for year two pupils. And the lessons I was taking, the topic was looking at how Christians follow Jesus. And to finish the lesson, we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan. You find the story in Luke 10. Most of us know this story quite well. Jesus is questioned by somebody, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asks, what is written in the law? To which the man replies, to love God totally and to love your neighbour as yourself. But the man needs a little bit more clarity. What does it mean to love your neighbour? And Jesus replies by telling a parable, a story with meaning. He wants us to learn something. He talks about a man, doesn't he, walking from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a real road. It's about 25 miles long. It goes down the hillside. It winds and twists. And we said that the man is attacked and he is robbed. Three different people come along that road after that event. The first is a priest, the next is a Levite. The crowd listening to the story, surely they will help him, the man who's been attacked and robbed. But Jesus says they walk on by. But then a third man comes, a Samaritan. What? And the Samaritan stops. And the Samaritan helps the man who's been attacked. This story is about all kinds of, in that story you can think about all kinds of things. I suppose mainly what we talk about in our story is to think about those words, who is our neighbour? Our neighbour is not just those who are like us. It's not just those who we like or we get on with. All are our neighbour, especially those in need. But I also felt when I was, because I was doing the lesson and I was writing this at the same time, I think it's also a story that speaks to us about character. Because the Samaritan was definitely not expected to help the man. The idea that the man was Jewish, the Samaritans and the Jews were enemies. Surely he's not going to help the man who's injured. I was saying to the kids, you know, if he saw the man, the crowd would be thinking, oh no, probably if he's not finished off, the Samaritan will probably finish him off. If he's got anything left to rob, the Samaritan will rob the stuff that's left. But yet he was the one who should have walked on by, but he doesn't. He stops. He helps. Why? Because he showed godly character. He stops, he helps, and he remains in character. He stays in this good character, even despite this situation which meant he shouldn't have got involved in, he shouldn't have helped. It's not his role. It would have, in many ways, lay the boot in a bit more, but yet he stays in this godly character, and his actions flow from this character. Nearly finished. I've been watching, we watched a couple of them. Joanna Page, do you know who Joanna Page is? She's been hosting a TV program called Wildlife. Now, I really don't know a lot about Joanna Page, but I recognize the face, and I watched her on this program called Wildlife when she's in this wildlife sanctuary, animal sanctuary, helping animals. And I said to Alison, She's like too nice. She's like really kind of really nice and sort of like a bit naive and a bit kind of like, you know, can you be too nice? But, you know, she's really, you know, she is. And I was saying this to Alison, and I, you know what, I've never watched an episode of Gavin and Stacey. Is that a good thing or not? I don't know. But Alison watched it. Watched it once when she was ill. Joanna, that's how most people will know Joanna Page, because she was in Gavin and Stacey. And Alison said to me, she plays the same character in Gavin. I've no evidence, I've never watched it. She says she basically plays the same character in Gavin and Stacey as she is as a not herself in this program, Wildlife, in this work in a wildlife sanctuary. Thing. Same character, different situations. I want to have the character of Jesus all the time. Wherever I am, with whomever I am, when things are difficult, when I'm tired, when I'm frustrated, what I want to have is the character of Jesus in me and remain in that character in the different circumstances of where I'm going to be. I absolutely know that I'm a long, long, long way off from that position. But I've got to aim that way. Character counts. The character of those who we look to, who, particularly those in power and authority, both within the church and the world around us, it counts. Because you can do the best actions in the world. The Pharisees did amazing things, but their character was wrong. Their motives, their was all about themselves, promoting themselves. Look at me, hypocrisy. But our character counts. So we've got to make sure that our well is in a good place. So when people see what we do, and we do, we're coming from the right places. We're carrying the character of Christ wherever we go. We'll pray about it. But I thought we'd sing. And we'll sing just about, I just wanted to sing about Jesus. So I asked the band if we could sing What a Beautiful Name. Let's stand. You know, Jesus is the pinnacle of human character. You know, we're not going to never be or hold ourselves up to Jesus. We're all going to fall well short. But we always look to Jesus. Reminds me of the story, and David did, with his England Rugby Union shirt on today after winning against France yesterday. I always remember the story, it's a story I've told before, and you'll probably, many of you have heard about Jason Robinson, who was an England rugby player. He played league and then he went on to play union. Good player. But while he played rugby league, I think, for Wigan. He used to have a teammate, and his teammate was a guy called Twigger Marler. Twigger Marler was a very big Samoan rugby player. You didn't mess with Twigger Marler. Twigger Marler would flatten people. That was his job. And the thing about Twigger Marler is that Jason Robinson used to sort of roommate with him and used to play with him and the same team. So he watched Twigger Marler a lot. He got to know Twigger Marler a lot. And the thing about Twigger Marler was, one of the things Jason Robinson noticed about him was that when Twigger Marler flattened you on the rugby league field, which was his job, he'd flatten the opponent, but then he'd go up to him and say, "I'm sorry about that, can I help you up?" And he'd help him up. Twigger Marler was a Christian and Jason Robinson was not. Jason Robinson saw something in Twigger Marler's character that challenged him. And eventually he went to Twigger Marler and he said, what is it? You're different, you are. You're different. You're not like the others. There's something about you. Twigger Marler says, it's Jesus. And Twigger Marler helped to lead Jason Robinson to Jesus. And Jason Robinson found faith in Jesus himself. God can use our character. But we need to make sure that the well of our character is in a good place. I think we need that discernment across the world when we look at others. We're not there to judge. That's a different thing. But we need to just be careful in discerning how we're led. And one of the ways that we can do that is looking at character, not just the whole thing. But I think we also need to be very... My aim is to have that character of Christ in the different circumstances and the different situations of my life. Like I say, not just when all's going well and it's easy, but when it's hard and difficult and tired and all those things, to remain in the character of Christ, that God might use us to his glory. Somebody once said, a person's character is shown through their actions in life, not where they sit in church. Let's pray. Lord, that's a funny word today. That's a hard passage to read from Matthew 23. Help us to learn the lessons that we need to learn today. Lord, I do pray that you would give us discernment in this world in which we live in today. Give us a sense of knowing what to believe, when to believe it, who to follow, who not to follow, who to support, who to listen to, who not to listen to. And I believe one of the filters that we can use is looking at character. How do these people, particularly leaders, show the character of Christ? Where is the compassion and the humility, alongside, yes, strength? But Lord, too, may it challenge us. Lord, we're sorry that sometimes we fall so short of that Christ-like character in the world around us. When the person cuts us off in traffic, or when we're, I don't know, anywhere, when we're agitated, tired. Lord, help us to hold character. Help us to hold on to the character of Christ wherever we are. Build the character of Christ in us, I pray. That people might see something in us that says, "Hey, you're different, you are. What is it?" And then give us the courage to tell them it's you. We follow you, the pinnacle of the character. Pray that they might see us as loving and forgiving, kind, compassionate, merciful, just. Lord, even now,
Just Holy Spirit, work again. Mould us and shape us, chip away at us as we just sit ourselves as clay in the potter's hands. Help this word today not just to be something that we forget, but we'll take into our week and remind us where we need to learn or be challenged or nudged or encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray.